I wonder if anybody's gonna come. We want to say hello to everybody watching on the balconies. What's up, y'all? I'm Danny Balcony. What's up? Y'all can be seated wherever you are. We want to welcome everybody to our Good Friday service. Who's the man?
Jesus!
We want to say welcome to everybody watching online. We got people watching online. Everybody who's here today, if y'all want to sit down, I know the concrete's hard. You can stand up if you want, but if you're not going to be here that long. But it is a blessing. Are y'all blessed today? Yeah. Amen, amen. We want to welcome all the visitors. If you are part of our church service for the first time, listen, if you're here for the first time, you've never been to the Rock Church for anything, raise your hand. We want to welcome you. Oh, wow. Give those people a hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So my name is Miles McPherson. I'm the pastor of The Rock, and I came here from New York in 1982, and I played for the San Diego Chargers 4 years, long before this beautiful stadium was built in Qualcomm Stadium. And my first 2 years, I was doing cocaine, running wild, just wild. Gave my life to Jesus Christ, stopped doing cocaine in 1 day, stopped smoking marijuana in 1 day, same day, got back with my girlfriend the same day. She's now my wife of 29 years, and we have 3 children, amen. I was out at the parking lot. I thought someone was barbecuing. and a lady named Helen, she's probably 70-something years old, said she wanted to marry me, but I got to tell her I was married. I don't know where. Is Helen here? Helen, are you here? I'm going to remember you, girlfriend. My wife, there she is right there. How you doing, Helen? I'm sorry, Helen. I'm already taken. Okay. I got you. It's been a blessing. I want to encourage you a couple things. One, before we leave, and I'm going to talk here for a minute, but before we leave, I want to encourage everybody here to meet somebody you do not know. To go up and say hello to someone you do not know and someone who does not look like you. And look like you is not necessarily shade, but it's also just a full program, okay? I want you to do that. One of the reasons we wanted to come out here was just to bring everybody together and share the love. I was walking out there, I was so blessed to see people with needs get their needs met. And that's what Jesus does. So we want to make sure we do that. Amen? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to share a few words, and we're going to have communion. And my prayer is that God will change your life today. Many of us out here have given our lives to Christ. I pray that God would change your life today. And that God would do something in your life and show you something about yourself that you need to know. Because we are all on a journey, and we don't get there till we die. So we don't want to say, I made it, because you didn't. When you said you made it, that means you must be in heaven. And since we ain't in heaven, you ain't made it. So we want to make sure that we're always surrendering ourselves afresh to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being who you are. And Lord, we thank you that no one out in this park is you. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through you. We don't have to guess which faith is right. We know that you died for our sin and you rose from the dead. We pray you bless us today. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I like old Western movies. Anyone like Western movies? Westerns. You know, Tombstone was probably my favorite. Val Kilmer and Doc Holliday. That brother was so hilarious. I'll be your Huckleberry. And then they got Jamie Foxx, got a new one. I haven't seen that one. The Django. I ain't seen that one yet. Wild Wild West. Y'all remember Wild Wild West? How many of y'all old people remember Gunsmoke? Old people. That's black and white. I think that was black and white. And back in the Wild Wild West days, because they didn't have a lot of police officers, if someone was deemed an outlaw or deserving of death, they would put posters up everywhere they could, and it would say, wanted, dead or alive. And then they have the picture of whatever they were drawing of the person and then the reward. And anybody who got that person would get the reward because they didn't have a lot of police. So they would just put a wanted, dead or alive sign out everywhere. So everybody was the police. They got everybody to help. I mean, they can't do that today. Today we got death row. You know, Scott Peterson is on death row. Ted Bundy was killed. And if Jeffrey Dahmer, he probably would have been on death row. We just don't know about what happened. But they were all determined that they had done so bad a thing that they should be killed. They should die. So my question to you is today, what did Jesus do that was so bad that they wanted him dead? Because he died. They decided he has to die. And he died. So we want to make sure we understand why he died, because when they were killing him, he said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do." Now, he wasn't saying they shouldn't be killing me. He was saying they're killing me for the wrong reason. So we need to understand, especially y'all, if you've never given your life to Christ and you are rejecting Christ, or you've given your life to him, but you haven't, you're still kind of giving him the Heisman on a couple areas of your life, you need to be clear why you're doing that, because you're probably doing it for the wrong reason. And when I talk to people who are not Christian, who don't have Christ in their life and they're living on their own, they always have a bad reason for rejecting Christ. So I want to share with you why the people who killed them, what their reason was. And if you have the same reason and you have the wrong reason, you want to make sure you have the right reason. Because you don't want to reject God for the wrong reason, because when you reject God, there are consequences. There are consequences to all our decisions. So you want to make sure, okay, I got the story, I now know why he died, and I'm going to reject him anyway. Well, that's on you then. But you don't want to be mistaken, okay? So the religious leaders, and I'll put it in a nutshell, they rejected him and had him killed because he said he was God. And he did things that only God can do, and they thought that he was a false teacher because there's no way God is a man. Well, they didn't realize that God became a man for 33 years and died for us. But as Jesus was walking around doing what he was doing, he was saying things only God could say. He was doing things only God can do. He was exercising authority that only God had, and they were tripping like, this guy can't do that. He was in a Bible study once, and the house was packed, just like this. There was no room, and this guy was paralyzed, and they got the paralyzed guy, four of his friends took him up on the roof. And the roof had beams, and in between the beams, a bunch of mud and clay and straw, and they chipped a hole in the roof and let the paralyzed guy down through the roof. Now, I can imagine the paralyzed guy saying, "I ain't going down the roof." They say, "You're going where we're checking you, because you can't do anything about it." And they let him down in the roof, and he came down the roof. I don't know if he was upside down or right side up, but he was still like this. And all the people were in the house. And Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." I'm paraphrasing and making it short. "Your sins are forgiven." And the religious people in the room thought to themselves, "You can't forgive God. You can't forgive sin. Only God can do that." Jesus said, "I know." Matter of fact, Jesus said, "I know what you're thinking." And he called them out. And he said, "Just to prove to you that I am who you think I am, watch this." And he told the guy to get up. And he was healed. He walked. And so they were like, "You can't do that." Then there was another guy who was paralyzed 38 years. Jesus walked by. Imagine, I want you to imagine a bunch of sick people laying on the ground. He walked by and he said to this guy, after he's paralyzed 38 years, he says, "Do you want to be well?" Now, you would think if you had issues for 38 years or 1 year or 1 month, and God asked you or somebody asked you, "Do you want to be well?" You would think you would say, "Of course." But he was like, "Well," he gave all these excuses. And some of y'all, God wants to heal you. He wants to bless you. He wants to forgive your sin. And yet you've got all these excuses. So he says to the guy, "Do you want to be well?" And he finally says, "Yes." And he says, "Take up your mat and walk." And then Jesus walked away. Well, the religious leaders saw him walking around carrying his mat. And it was the Sabbath day, which you weren't supposed to do any work. So they said, "Why are you carrying your mat?" And they said, "The man who healed me told me to pick up my mat and walk." And they found Jesus, said, "Jesus, you can't heal on the Sabbath. We're going to kill you for that." And he said, "My Father never stops working." And they said, "We're going to kill you for that." You don't want to be mad at God because he heals on the Sabbath. You don't want to reject God, Jesus, because he said his Father was God. Then one day he started teaching on a hill like this, and he started reinterpreting the Bible. And he says, I know y'all believe the Bible says don't commit adultery, but here's what I said. Don't lust in your heart. You can't say that. You're changing the Bible. He says, you know, the Bible says don't murder. Here's what I said. Don't be mad in your heart. If you're mad in your heart, you sin. You can't say that. You're changing the Bible. I know the Bible says love your friends. I say love your enemies too. They say, you can't say that. They said, this guy's changing the Bible. They wanted to kill him. Then Lazarus was his friend. He went over to Lazarus' house. They watched football together. Football, as you all know, is God's sport. Can I get an amen? And so they would watch football. They would do all the stuff at his house. And Lazarus died. And Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, said, can you come by and heal your friend? He's dying. And Jesus said, no. And then he died. Then they put him in a tomb, put the rock in front of the tomb. And Martha came on Necro. And if you would have came here, he would have lived and started getting on his face like, oh, get on fabulous. And Jesus said, listen, just for that, go move the stone. So he made her move the stone. He moved the stone. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, all wrapped up, mummified, came out of the tomb and unwrapped himself like a hula hoop and said, here I am. And he said, look, if I didn't let him die, I wouldn't be able to raise him from the dead. And what happened was, when they raised him from the dead, all the religious leaders who didn't like him anyway, they said, he's getting too popular. So we need to kill him. They said, tell us plainly, who are you? Are you the Christ? He says, it is as you say, the Father and I are one. They wanted to kill him for that. Those aren't good enough reasons. Then at his trial, Pilate arrested him, and I'm going to pick up the story there. They arrested him. And he was, Pontius Pilate said, because he had to go, Jesus went to four trials, by the way. He went to four trials, and each one of them was bogus. In Luke chapter 23, verse 13, it says, Pontius Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers of the, and the people, the Jewish leaders, and said, you have brought this man Jesus to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man. Everybody say, no fault.
No fault.
Jesus is not wrong for saying he's God, because he is. He's not wrong for forgiving sins, because he does. He's not wrong for explaining what the Bible really means, because he is the Word. He wrote the Bible. He's not wrong in any of that. And these people thought they were doing something right to kill him. And then Pilate says, I don't understand what you're tripping on, because he hasn't done anything wrong. He says, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things which you accuse him. Neither did Herod. He didn't find any fault, for I sent him back to him, and indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. There is no reason people should reject him. And any reason you have to ask yourself, where do you get your reason? And then it says, I will therefore chastise him, beat him, and release him. And they all cried out at once, away with this man, release us to Barabbas, another criminal who had been thrown in prison for a certain rebellion. And Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, called out to them again and saying, and they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. He said to them a third time, why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for his death. I will chastise him and let him go. And the people screamed, crucify him, crucify him. And then they said, let his blood be on our head. You don't want to say that. You need to know, if you are going to reject Christ, that Jesus Christ is not being killed because people think he is wrong. He's not being killed because he falsely claimed to be God. He's not being killed because he falsely claimed to forgive sin or falsely to understand the Bible better than the religious leaders. The Bible says right here in verse 34, Jesus said to them as they were crucifying him, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they do. And what he was saying was this. They think they're killing me because I'm wrong. They think they're killing me because of my sin, when in fact, they're killing me because of their sin. You have to understand that Jesus did not die for his sin. They didn't kill him because he did anything wrong, said anything wrong, misrepresented any truth. They killed him because they were wrong in their thinking. People reject God because they're wrong in what they think he'll do in your life. People think, if I give my life to God, I'm going to be a religious freak. Well, that may be true. But you think being a religious freak is not cool. You think being a religious freak is freaky. Well, you're already freaky without God. How many people know freaky people without God? Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, says that sinners will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're standing before a court, before a judge, and you have a death sentence on your head, and the judge is getting ready to sentence you to death, there is nothing you can do. You are going to die. In the spiritual way, we are that guilty person. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is everyone. And because sin is a spiritual offense, it has a spiritual penalty. Not only do you physically go in the ground, but you spiritually are eternally separated from God. The Bible calls that hell. When the Bible says God loves us, what God did is says, I want to give you an opportunity to be forgiven. And so when you're standing before the judge, which is God, by the way, I don't want to condemn you, God says. I want to set you free. But someone has to die for your sin. And so he said, I love you so much, I'm going to send my son Jesus. And he's going to live 33 years. And he is going to die for your sin. So when they were killing him, when they thought they were killing him because of his sin, they were actually killing him because of their own sin. And they had no idea that was going on. And people who reject God are rejecting God because they think God's going to do something bad to them, that they have it better without God, when in fact that couldn't be the furthest thing from the truth. What God wants to do, what Christ wants to do, is forgive you of all your sin. Renew your mind so you can see who and why you are, so you can have a relationship with the Father, and so you can have peace that surpasses all understanding, so God can show you the purpose that he created you, because God is the one who created you. You did not evolve. You were not an accident. You were very intentionally designed. You are marvelous. Everybody say marvelous. I don't know if anybody here go to Harvard. Anybody here go to Harvard? Couple people from Harvard, and I've never been to Harvard, and I haven't gone to Harvard, but I see it on TV. I want you to say, like, you're marvelous. Say, I'm marvelous. You are fearfully and wonderfully created. You are one of a kind. God did that. And when you give your life to Christ, God says, now I'm going to show you who you are, instead of hearing all the garbage in your head from everybody who's a hater. Jesus came to give you that opportunity. Why would anyone walk away from a person who wants to die in their place? The Bible says, he who had no sin, Jesus. Everyone say, Jesus.
Jesus.
He who had no sin became all of our sin. Jesus was rightfully crucified. He needed to die, but not because of his sin, because of our sin. God's expression of love to us is to give us an opportunity to be forgiven. So here you are standing in front of the judge, and the judge is getting ready to pronounce you, sentence you to death, and then Jesus says, I'll take that for you. That was his resurrection, his crucifixion experience. I'm going to die for you, because we deserve to be on that cross. So what does that mean for you? That means that you have an opportunity today to say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to pay for my own sin and go to hell. I don't want you to judge me for my own sin. I want to be forgiven. And I want to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and come live in my heart. Now, you can say, I don't want that. That's fine. But let me tell you what that means. That means that you will pay for your own sin for eternity in hell. I had a friend of mine who I used to play football with, and he would always tell me he didn't want anything to do with God. And when I became a pastor, he was like, you know what? If it wasn't for people like me, you would not have a job. I was like, okay. I said, be careful, big fella. Imagine if all his life he kept telling God, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Wouldn't it be right and just for a loving God to give him what he wants? Because that's what God's going to do. People who say to God all their life, I don't want to have anything to do with you, when they die, God will say, you got it. And that place is called hell. We don't want that to happen to any of you. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, I don't want that. I want a relationship with you. I want you to forgive me of my sin. I want you to cleanse me of my sin. I want to have a relationship with you, and I want to know my purpose, and I want to walk with you, God. You're going to have an opportunity to do that. And if you've never done that before, let me encourage you, please. Don't reject Jesus, because you never know when you're going to have another opportunity to accept him. And Jesus dealt with rich, poor, political, religious, all kind of people, and they all had the same requirement. The Bible says that one day every knee will bow. That means this knee and that knee. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. You're either going to say Jesus is Lord or Jesus is Lord, I got that wrong. And then it's going to be too late. We don't want you to make that mistake. You're standing before the judge and he's going to sentence you to death. You can cry out to Jesus to save you, or you can take that bullet yourself. Don't take that bullet yourself. Because once you die, there is no second chance. It's over. There is no second chance. It's appointed for man to die one time and then face judgment. So right now I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And out of respect to everybody here, I just want you to, if you would just close your eyes and bow your head, not distract anybody, because right now people are thinking about eternity. The Bible says all have sinned. That means you. And all you need to worry about today is you right now. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. Everybody dies. We all know that. But it's two deaths. There's a physical death. And then there's a spiritual death. And that spiritual death is eternity separated from God with no second chance. But the Bible says that while we were sinners, not thinking about God, doing our own thing, Jesus, Jesucristo, el Señor, died to pay the penalty for our sin. And then he rose from the dead to prove his power over death and his authority over life. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you right now want to ask Christ to forgive you of your sin, I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart by faith. But as you pray, you must believe that God knows who you are. You must believe that he loves you just as much as every other person has ever lived. You must believe that he will make no exception for you. If you reject him, he will reject you. But if you repent, he will accept you. So if you would like to do that, in the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I know that I am a sinner. And I know that my sin is wrong. And I know the penalty of my sin is death. But I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. That he died and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. please come live in my heart. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my soul to you. I want to become your child. I want to become your disciple. Transform my life. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before people, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. Being a Christian is something we do 24/7. It's not only private, it's public. Jesus was beat in public. Jesus was spit on in public. Jesus was whipped in public. He was betrayed and denied by two of his disciples in public. We walk with him in public. We love in public. So right now, if you prayed that prayer, you're saying, Lord, I am surrendering my life. I am giving my life to Jesus Christ, as many of us have already done. I'm going to ask you to stand up to your feet and acknowledge that. Stand up to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. See you all over. Stay standing. Stay standing. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. So here's what we're going to do now. Some of y'all were already standing, and here's what we're going to do in a minute. In a minute, we're going to ask all of y'all who are standing or anyone who prayed, we're going to ask you to come right here. So we're going to ask all of y'all. Y'all going to have to move back a little bit. We want to give you something. Bring your family, but let's let these people move real quick first before anybody starts walking. I'm just going to ask everybody down in front just to move back. If you are standing, or if you prayed that prayer, you might have been standing already, we're going to ask you to make your way down to the front right here. And let's give them a big hand and come on down. Single one of you people, and no matter what your life has been up to this moment, it's all gone. Your friends will remind you of your garbage. You will remind yourself of your garbage. Your family reminds you. God's forgotten it. He has chosen to forget all your stuff. But now you gotta walk with him. It's a relationship. And he is the boss. It is not an equal partnership. He appreciates your opinion about your life. He appreciates the things you want. Please tell him, but in the end, you do what he says. That's what master means. If you saw us raising our hands earlier, this means I surrender. That don't mean, well, I'm thinking about it. It means I surrender. So now you give your life to Christ. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? When I was playing with the Chargers before I got saved, my first 2 years, we had to do all these charity things, and they would say, will you go over here and talk to these kids? I'm like, I'm not a talker. I take pictures, but I ain't a talker. God said, no, you just didn't know you were a talker. There's something God has for you might not even know. So here's what we're going to do. Communion, did y'all get communion cups? If you don't, we need communion cups. If I could get a bunch of ushers down here, just raise your hand if you do not have one. I need a bunch of ushers down here helping these people. I'm going to throw some out. Can I have some down here in the front? Help me out. Here we go. Here we go. No. You don't have one. You going to catch this? Oh! There you go. If you need a cup, raise your hand. There's a cup right there. That white basket. Let's pass them out real quick. When you get it, I want you to open up the top flap and just take the little wafer out. Let me tell you this. If you have never asked Jesus to be your Savior, if you have never asked Jesus to be your Savior, do not take communion. Here's why. Because what you're telling God is, God, I reject you, but I am going to take this acknowledging that I know you died and rose from death for me. This will do you no good. We are doing this acknowledging that we know he died. You don't want to do it as a religious thing because what you're doing is you're mocking God. It will do you no good. You don't get to heaven by doing good works. You get to heaven by surrendering, and the good works come after. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray one more time because there may be some of you out there, you have this in your hand, and you're like, you know what? You've been playing a religion game in your mind thinking you can do those kind of things and get away with it, and you're not doing yourself any good. You're not going to go to heaven because you took communion. Matter of fact, if you reject Christ and you take communion, God's going to say, you took communion, that means you knew. So let's bow our heads real quick one more time. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you've never asked Christ to be your Savior and you want to do it again, you want to do it right now for the first time, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know you love me, and I know you died for me. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come in my heart. Be my Savior. And my Lord, I surrender my life to you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you just did that, didn't do it 5 minutes ago, but you did it for the first time just now, just raise your hand. We want to see you. God bless 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 you. Lord, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take the wafer out. Very good. Take the wafer out. There's one time in the Bible where Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, and it was take communion. And what Jesus was saying was, when you think of me, I don't want you to think your problem's going to go away. I don't want you to think you're going to be rich and famous. I don't want you to think everything's going to be easy. I want you to remember you're going to die. If you follow me, you're going to die. People ain't going to like you. They're going to stab you in the back. It's going to be hard, and then you're going to die. Now, after you die, you're going to go to heaven. But you're going to die. So this is acknowledging that when you give your life to Christ, this is not about you anymore. All y'all down here, you're saying, Lord, it ain't about me anymore. It's not about what I want. It is not. God does not serve you. You serve him. That's it. That's how it works. So when we take this, we're acknowledging we're dying. Just as Jesus was on the cross, we're dying. We're going to go on the cross. Lord, thank you for letting sinful man beat you, spit on you, pull your beard out, thorns in your head, nail you to wood. Thank you. And because you died, I can live. In Jesus' name, amen. You can take that away for that bread. Now open up that cup very carefully. Don't get that stuff on your priority clothes. I don't know how many of y'all gave blood today, but if you haven't, is it this way? Yeah, after, let's go give some blood. But when you give your blood is only going to be good for certain people. You can't put your blood in any old body. It's got to be a certain type. Got to match the type. Can I get an amen? Jesus' blood is good for all of us. His blood is sinless. It ain't about a type. It's about sinlessness. And his blood, when he died on the cross, he was shedding his sinless blood to forgive and pay for all of our sins. All throughout the Old Testament, you had to kill an animal and shed blood to get sin forgiven. But because the animals were not sinless, they had to keep killing animals over and over and over again. Jesus said, you can shed my blood one time. And his blood was shed to pay the price for our sin. Life is in the blood. They drain your blood, you die. They drain his blood. Matter of fact, when he was on the cross, his heart burst in the sac. Your heart's in the sac called pericardium sac. His heart actually exploded in the sac. Lord, we thank you that you shed your blood for our sin. And we take this juice now, acknowledging that we know your blood was shed for our sin. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We got two things to do. We are going to cheer all y'all who are down here. We're going to lead y'all over here because we want to love on you and give you something. In a minute, we're going to lead y'all out. We're going to follow that. Those people are in a minute. And then after that, we're going to take an offering, and the offering's when they walk out, right? And the offering is going to support the Monarch School, which is a school downtown for homeless kids. It's going to support a local mission. So we're going to keep giving, because giving is good. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. We're going to cheer these people off until they get out. This way. That way. And then Mickey's going to pray for our offering. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these people. We thank you so much for salvation, forgiveness. We thank you for your patience. We pray you transform their life in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them a hand as they go out that way. Let's give them a hand. Come on.